Well, I've been researching this topic for over most of my life with the people that I know, frankly. And in the industry that we're all in, we are encountering this type of mental disorder more than you could imagine. And that is the disorder of narcissism, which is one of the last things, which none of us, by the way, none of us have. Yeah, ego and narcissism. None of
I
this.
used to have those diseases, but I took the correct supplements.
Right. Right. The knowledgeable supplements.
The knowledgeable supplements.
The paragraph vitamins that have deleted that virus from your brain.
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Varoni, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Should we be slating at the beginning of every episode? Jack Bensinger, New York, six.
What do you mean
slating? Non-threatening 6'5".
Like the clapper?
Oh, no, I mean, well.
Eric Rahill, 425-205.
Oh!
Nate Brown.
Eric, you almost just said half of your phone number.
I know, bro. That's what's hilarious, but then I stopped
not
myself.
Not willing to shave. Do not. I'm not fucking shaving.
I frankly would say that in auditions now. I am not willing to shave unless it's a part of a lifetime.
And I'm
otherwise,
not willing.
Otherwise, much like narcissists, I will be staring at my own reflection. But different than him, I will be wanting to break the mirror in half and burn it because I cannot stand my reflection when it's all shaved up.
So what is this? The narcissism has its roots in the, if you go into the semantics and etymology of
right.
narcissism, this goes back to what a lot of things do, which is Greek mythology and
once again
stories, okay, which is how we communicated back then, was through storytelling
and how
and
we still communicate
a power, huh?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
So this has its roots in a quite lost, I would say, story called The Pond of Narcissus. And Eric, you've been studying this for years. Right?
Yes, thank you.
So you're welcome.
Well, basically, this is a scene in book three of Ovid's Metamorphoses.
I know. Yeah. Okay. I know. Yeah.
You know that, right? Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I didn't know that.
Quick breakdown. Narcissus is the son of the river god Cephisus. And
what?
The nymph. Syphilis. And by the way, what's that?
Syphilis?
Nymph,
he says.
Cephisus. Cephisus.
Succades.
And
the son of Lycades and Succades.
His mom is the nymph Liriope. She's a fucking nymph, by the way.
She's a milf, the original milf.
She's the original
mania.
Dude, if I was allowed to, let me get back in high school classroom right now, I would be beyond a class clown. I would be a fucking class headlining, insane blessing. And the teacher would be laughing, cracking up at my shit so much that she wouldn't even care. Or he.
I would be staying under the radar because if someone found a 5-year-old or 6-year-old as smart as us, we would be executed by the current regime.
Well, that's why they held us back. They did hold us all back because they saw in the laboratories where we were born how dangerous we would be. So they put me in special ed. They got right. Eric addicted to theater classes, and they got Nate addicted to pornography and Halo. And now all three of us are just kind of, it's almost like, what's going to happen first? Are we going to realize how smart we are, or is AI going to, you know, it's
right.
That's kind of the race to the good versus evil.
Right, right, right.
So to continue this, he's the son of the river god Cephisus and the nymph Liriope. And he was renowned. Narcissus was renowned for his extraordinary beauty. Okay.
Interesting.
And what has happened here is he was cursed by Nemesis, the goddess of retribution, who I believe was fine as hell, and cursed him to fall in love with his own reflection in a clear pool. and unable to tear himself away from the image, he eventually wasted away and died. And in his place, a flower bloomed, the narcissist flower. Okay.
Wow. So only in death cursed to look at himself. Truly be viewed and discovered through the act of death.
So what exactly happened?
That's what I took from that.
Narcissist was acting up. Okay. He was a beautiful guy, and he was cursed by the goddess of retribution to stare at himself forever because he was so in love with his own image.
And he got so thirsty that he just fucking died.
No, he didn't take a sip. Oh, yeah. He did get thirsty. I guess he would have gotten thirsty.
I would imagine that that's the first thing that would have killed him. If he was stuck looking at his... if he couldn't move.
Right. Well, you have to keep in mind he is the son of a god and a nymph. And so maybe thirst wouldn't factor into his death.
Well, right. And once again, I'm being too literal. So let me just say, right, I get the message.
Right. So, right away when I'm reading this tale, immediately, I don't think of mirrors, and I don't think of ponds. I think of something called, basically, social media.
Wait, watch this. What was it? Redes sociales. That's not it. But it would have been close.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say social media in Spanish from when I took my Spanish immersion 3 years ago on Zoom.
Good job.
Trying to keep up.
Well, you should be saying social media in Greek. Ancient Greek.
I don't think they had that.
Not that we know of.
Does ancient Greek English? Or was it its own thing?
I'm pretty sure that ancient Greek was not English. I think I can confirm that.
Yeah, that wasn't around for a minute.
I'm not certain.
But...
yeah.
So, A, what do you guys think of narcissists? B, how is our society currently rewarding narcissists? And C, I don't know. What you doing tonight? Okay. What's up?
I'll just take a seat.
Okay. Oh, tonight, well, chilling, not much. Oh, we have to go in order? My fault.
I think that narcissists are, I'm gonna go ahead and defend the narcissist.
Okay.
And maybe play a little bit of devil's advocate, because I know people, probably the moral choice here is to say narcissism is bad. It's not good. It's hellish to be around these people. They cause so much harm. But I think that narcissism is probably a, here I go talking about DNA again. Interesting. It's something in our evolution that happened, because I think we need variety, okay, in the species to pull it forward, you know what I'm saying, or to push it forward, sorry. And I think narcissism is one of those DNA notches, and I think we need narcissists, a couple of them, not a lot, and I think they're necessary for the advancement, whether it be good or bad, of the evolution of the human race.
Interesting. Okay, Jack, what do you think about narcissists?
I think Nate's one for sure.
Right, I know. Clearly off the bat, I'm thinking, why does he care so much about them? Maybe he is one himself.
Why do you bring this up? Why do you bring this all up? Because he wants to hear about himself talk again.
Right.
Now, what I'd say is this. You know, I might have to side with Nate a little bit and kind of say, what's this big conspiracy, it seems? Because when I look around, I don't see a crisis of ego. I see a crisis of self-doubt, self-hatred, and self-hatred.
You're saying there's not enough of that?
There's not enough ego. Now, and it reminds me of all these shit. Because you remember how I'm always talking about Sia? All these songs that go like this. The song's about, I don't want to sing it because I don't want to defame myself, if that's the right word. But the song about not needing any money. I don't need no money. Cheap Thrills, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's all these songs, these pop songs, these multi-millionaire media conglomerate, global capital-driven pop songs that are about not needing money, that are built on the backs of exploitation, money, and horrible capitalist idealities. Now, what you're telling me is that... it makes, do you see the hypocrisy there? And I'm almost thinking, are we being told, you don't need money, all you need is friendship and family. You don't need ego, all you need is to be Buddhist and Zen, and happiness comes from the internal shit. Meanwhile, we got Krusty the fucking, what's his
Crab.
Name? Mr. Krabs. Crab. Out here collecting all the dough, and Jeff Bezos enjoying the pools of ego that he switched.
And with just to clear this up, Mr. Krabs owns the Krusty Krab. That's his business.
Yeah, that's a co-op too.
Are there more right. Krusty Krabs in the, like, does he franchise it out?
I think there's episodes where they tried to franchise, but I'm not sure how that panned out, because honestly, I dipped out at about after about season 14. So I'm not sure what they're up to.
Yeah, just hire Plankton and say, like, open another one on the east side.
Chum Bucket, good luck. He has no taste. He's a fucking villain. He's the size of a flea. He's actually a sea flea, I think. Or no, he's Plankton.
He is Plankton, yeah.
Right, that's his name.
Remember when they went to the ghetto one episode?
Oh, you mean the Twisted Twilight Zone ghetto? Called what? Rock Bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they
those
shit
fish
on the
are not
class.
Normal.
They made them fucking sound like they're shitting their pants between every word.
Yep.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. Different style of speaking.
It's a funny way to... Nobody's really skewered poverty like that. In
Bro.
A beautiful way.
Do you think Squidward's a narcissist? I think he has too much self-doubt to be a narcissist and self-hatred.
No. Squidward ain't, no. Of course
so
not.
Who's a narcissist? Mr. Krabs really might be the narcissist.
Oh, who's a narcissist within the SpongeBob archetypes? Squidward. Of course it's Squidward.
No, bro, because he, time and time again, his problems always reveal themselves to be a dislike of his own self. Why
well,
does he play clarinet? Why does he read books? It's to prove to everyone else that he's
just insecure, you know, right?
He's insecure.
That's exactly what narcissism is externalized insecurity, because you don't have the confidence from within, so you're seeking the external constantly. Those are the most insecure people about us. You can't just hand them a packet, yo.
But what about those the mermen, the old folks home people? I think they are the narcissists, because they're going out, they're delusional, and they think that they can still fight crime at that age.
Delulu.
So I think they might be. And they're also the only, I think in the whole universe, they're the only people that were involved in the, was it a TV show they were a part of in the show, or were they actual superheroes?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you think they were hooking up with the hot fish chicks?
Well, they were fish themselves. Oh, no, you're saying mermaid.
No, they're men. Oh,
well, they were little ass, tiny ass men.
They're men, bro.
But they were
of
so small
were.
In that case. They might have been.
That's what confuses me.
Fidei.
They were hooking up with Sandy's fucking mom in that.
Oh, shit. Her mom came to visit Bikini Bottom for real? What?
The squirrel? The squirrel's mom? Many holes we're finding in the plot of SpongeBob. Many holes.
Okay, listen to this quote from Narcissus. Okay, this is what Narcissus says. He says, I am he. I have felt it. I know now the image is only of me. This is him realizing that he's been staring at himself. I burn with love for myself. I both kindle the flames and suffer them. This is the cost of narcissism, bro. Because you're falling in love with yourself. You're putting everything only into yourself. There's no one there to return it, bro. There's no one there to return what you're investing.
Are you not returning it to yourself, though?
You can't. We're incapable.
It's not. I don't. I'm finding this to be a dangerous tightrope walk between self-love and self-ego.
Well, that's a great point. What's her? Thank what's you. What's Oprah's new chick's name?
I
Mel
don't
Robbins,
know what you're talking about.
Mel Robbins, she's Stedman? Against shame.
Seven? What'd you say, Nate?
Stedman?
Oh. Yo, have you seen Oprah's new chick, Seven? Is that what just happened to us?
Shout out to Stedman, by the way. That dude is he's holding down Oprah for years upon decades, you know? And he's been in the limelight. He's been in, you know, not in the limelight.
Do you think that they are in a monogamous relationship, or do you think they get all freaky up in there?
I think they're in a multi-way monogamous relationship sexually.
Right.
I think they're hooking up. They're at the class level where they're like having sex with like goats in rituals sort of right. stuff. Like they kind of, they're not, to answer your question, no, I don't think they're monogamous, but I do think they're probably in some field somewhere, all kind of
field
going down on a goat or something, you know.
They're at least in a meadow or something because they have the money for that. Yeah. The billions of dollars.
They're outside going, getting free right. with some barnyard animals.
I know. I'd kill to be in a field and not in my fucking fucking goddamn Highland Park mansion. I'm in Brooklyn. Well, what's funny is, I see what you're saying, Nate. It's like, you know, lust is a endorphin releasing drug just like anything, and I'm sure they're capping out and they gotta keep up in the dose and up in the dose, and at a certain point you can't reach sexual climax, fuck it, just from physical touch. At a certain point the nerve endings start to become ineffective in terms of stimulating your mind, which is right. the end
they put in. By their way, work
the ending of a nerve is the beginning of the neuron. Damn, I just made that up. the end of a nerve ending is the beginning of a neuron.
Clip
no,
it.
You realize neurons are sent down neural pathways down to the nerves, which you see, the neurons are the messengers, bro.
I don't understand. No. A nerve, you touch the nerve and you're fucking on your skin. The nerve, I'm assuming, is a pathway to the CNS, central nervous system. Then electric signal into the neuron, which is carried right. into your brain, where mm-hmm. they make thoughts, dreams, songs, children's names.
So to bring it back to Greek mythology, if you want to put it in terms of that, Eric is saying that the neuron is the Hermes of the nervous system, and the
yo, dirty dish check, who's got the most? I got one bowl full of trash with 3-day old salsa and two plates. I got another salsa dish right here. I got two coffee cups over here.
Damn.
I got the jar of salsa empty, days.
Jesus.
I'll keep going. I got the popsicle stick right here. Delicious.
Okay, Julio's got an amazing mug with maybe a pastry on it. Bro, pull those chips up back up, Jack, right now. I need to teach you a lesson. These are the worst chips you could buy. These are the worst tortillas.
What
are
they? Name the brand now.
Pull the brand down. Julio, help me out. Chotil. Sochi. It's clearly Sochi.
Sochi
chips can fucking, they need to go now. They're too thin.
Yeah, I agree actually on that.
Bro, it's just not right. You want Totopos. You want the kind of like.
Now, the best chips are the ones that come in like the worst cellophane, the most cheapest cellophane you could possibly imagine. And they're fucking from Jewel Osco. They're from the. They're in that bag, and they rip mm-hmm. so fucking easily. Like, if you mm-hmm. fucking even pick up the bag, they're all gonna drop out of that fucking shit. And they
you
don't
come
have
over
a
and make salsa tonight, Nate.
Do I know what?
And I'll. Do you want to come over and make salsa tonight, Nate? And I'll teach
we'll
you how to
after.
Drink
we'll
beer
talk.
Again.
Text me about it. I don't want to answer this in a public forum, but
we'll get the food processor out. We'll put the tomatillos on the pan, some peppers. Play games.
Wait, here's
those
a scene
are so
idea,
salty,
then.
Man.
Scene idea based on
Uh-oh.
Recent events on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So you come over to somebody's house and it's like a fucking mess. They're like so fucking depressed. They got dirty dishes all over their fucking house. And then you go in and it seems like, oh, they're going to talk to them and whatever. And then they go, ooh, these are the fucking chips you buy. These chips fucking suck. All right.
Yeah.
I actually got a, you know what I'm saying? Then they bounce.
Yep. It's just like that.
This is what you call the seed of an idea.
That's called creativity, I would say.
Interesting.
The creative flow.
Interesting.
Endless. There's an infinite amount of ideas out there in the universe.
That's a 3-year veteran writer of Tuning Out the News. Stephen Colbert presents Tuning Out the News. That's the type of mind it takes. Even though I turned down season 3, by the way, I turned it fucking down so that I could go on strike and have the show be canceled.
Can I relay something that made me laugh? I was listening to the Robert Rodriguez episode of Joe Rogan Experience. And I told you this, Eric, but it's so funny because he's like, the whole interview, he's trying to like, I think he's trying to like pivot and be like a Rick Rubin sort of person. That's like, I know, like I can feel that he's writing a book right now about like the creative process. Like it's like, so like I can see it from a mile away and he's trying to become like, I'm like a creativity guru, you know? And he keeps throughout the interview, he keeps on telling Joe Rogan about this movie that he's making in his studio. And he like, and if you don't know, he made like Sin City and Spy Kids, and he makes like a lot of green screen movies on like a really low budget, but they do well in the box office. And he's kind of like, that's his sector of filmmaking.
And maybe I've said this before, but I've visited that studio, just put it that way. I've been to the studio.
You said you walked past
party. I did walk past him, and right as I walked past him, he was holding a guitar and walking to the stage where he was going to go play music with, I believe, one of his children. And my Yankee hat fell off my head, tumbled down the road, and he just watched the hat go, didn't go to pick it up. I didn't realize it was him. And then my buddy said, that was Robert Rodriguez, whose hat, who just watched your hat blow away.
Wow.
He looked fucking sick.
These things are going to count when we get to heaven and they start listing off.
Oh, yeah. Experiences.
Moments like that.
Mm-hmm. Celebritious moments with different celebrities.
Celebrity close encounters was a celebrity time.
Celebritic. Right.
Celebritic.
But he's so he's talking about this movie and he keeps on, and you can tell he's like trying to get Joe Rogan to be in this new movie that he's like doing a new like crowdfunding sort of way of film financing this film. And he's like, you'll come by the studio. I have a great part for you, man. Like you're gonna love it. And he just changes the subject every time he brings it up. And he does it like 3 times throughout it. He's like, you're gonna come by the studio. I got a part for you, man. Like it's gonna be really great. And he's like, yeah. So back to Sin City, like I really love that movie.
I think Joe Rogan would play a good character called the Slug. Get him all wet and sticky.
Sliding
around, all green clothing.
Dude, he could have been that dude in Dune, Slug. The evil guy.
Oh guy. Yeah. Damn, that guy's sickening.
He looks. Joe Rogan looks kind of like that crazy, stone man from the Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Hello.
He does. Yes, what he does. I know what you're talking about.
The blue monkeys. Hello, freak bitches.
Okay. Tips for dealing with a narcissist. I need you guys to equip yourselves as we trek further into this industry.
Can I guess what the tips are?
Yeah, man, please.
Giving them rides. Doing whatever they want to do.
Right,
because you got to play the game, right? The tip for dealing with a narcissist is it tips for getting what you want out of a narcissist and manipulating them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I am a Jack. If you're, I'm a hotshot director who's directing an episode of TV, and you're on the show, and you want a bigger part. All right, and we're in a.
And you're like an extra, together. By the way.
You have 3
you
minutes.
You don't even have lines.
You have 3 minutes to glaze my ass.
All right.
With words.
Okay.
No touching, even though that's what I want the most.
Okay.
Well, I'm out because that's all. I can only physically glaze somebody. So
You put away the KY jelly. Jack?
Okay, I'm waiting. So this it's in your trailer?
No, we're in a van. We're literally going to the scene right now, and you have to pitch yourself to me.
All right, ready? Oh, shit. Oh, shit, man. I'm looking at my phone. Oh, fucking hell.
Hey, man, can you pipe down? I got to focus on this scene. The only way it's going to work is if I'm directing it really good.
Sorry about that. I just got to fucking...
Excuse me, I'm just a producer here. I'm wondering why there was an extra that's like, why you're even here in the van.
I can explain all this. I can explain all this. Just got a tough email from my doctor. Fast-acting brain tumor coming straight for me. Feeling like I really need to put it all on the line right now.
All right, man, I feel for you, but I really can only think about myself due to my medical condition of being a narcissist.
But guess what? It's contagious.
Excuse me?
Everybody in this car has to have one choice and one choice only. We have to find the cure for cancer or we're all dead.
I'm suing you.
The movie's on pause. We're going to shut down the set for today. I'm driving straight to Johns Hopkins, Baltimore University with a couple of 18 to 21-year-olds. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I think by the end, we're going to have found a relationship with each other that's going to lead to a more rich story. And I have a gun on me. By the way.
All right.
So.
And timeout.
All right.
Timeout from the simulation. Get out. Unplug yourself. Get out of character really quick.
I need some time, by the way. But I was like so into the producer role. Like, give me. I can't just come out of a character like that. That was like so intense for me. Yeah. Give me like a couple minutes, please.
And Nate typed into the chat while he was playing that character that he said, I'm secretly Puerto Rican as this character.
I'd fucking kill to be Puerto Rican. That's for sure.
That's what I do on stage in improv scenes. I have little note cards that I'm writing in the back line and I hand them to people.
By the way,
they're always race-based.
They're always. Because you see me, it's like in improv, you can play, you know, anybody. So I want people to know the specifics of my backstory. But mainly just the race.
Respections.
It's always Puerto Rican.
Respections.
Every time.
Now, Jack, the mission was simple. The mission, I thought I stated it clearly. You were supposed to glaze up on me. Put your glaze all over me.
But here's what I did. I got into that scenario and I immediately tapped into what are my wants and what are my needs.
Good. Good job. And good boy.
Instead of going for, excuse me, bitch. Play that shit again and see who shows up to your door tomorrow.
With a gift of fruit and different presents.
With buffalo wings and a spice level that you don't know.
Damn, guess the spice level challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry.
So I went for, instead of going for what I wanted in the scene, I went for what I needed, which was a medical intervention. I cut right through the bullshit. I didn't listen to my ego, my narcissism, because that's what it was tempting. It was like, oh, this guy's got narcissism.
Narcissism pond syndrome.
Right. I feel like this is why I can't take direction. This is why I can't be in a writer's room or be on a set, is like the ideas are just so fucking basic for me. The second I read a script, the first thing I do is I respond with, if someone sends me a feature, I rewrite it entirely and I send it back to them within an hour or two.
Just based off the title?
Yeah, just based off the title and what I've eaten that day. And then I send it back to them and say, take it or leave it.
So Jack, without knowing it, you've stumbled upon one of the strategies, which is, this is the first strategy, bro. Set firm boundaries.
Wow.
Narcissists often test limits. Be clear, consistent, and calm when stating what you will and will not tolerate. Example, I'm not comfortable being spoken to that way. If it continues, I'll leave the conversation. Jesus.
Fuck.
Wow.
That's firm.
Imagine being told that by Jonah Hill.
You know what I heard once? I don't know if this is on the list, but the best way to, I think this was kind of like to destroy a narcissist. okay?
Please tell us.
To ruin a narcissist is to expose them.
Is it to take them to the fires of Mordor?
Basically, that in a metaphorical sense, yes. But it's to expose them because they're keeping up a myriad of lies, and they are, and the minute that you find a hole in their armor, you expose it, and they can't handle that. That mm-hmm. sends them into a fucking spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you're listening so closely right now.
Taking notes. Writing
it. It looked like you were like, hanging on every word I just said.
I was. I really was.
Well, here's another strategy. I've used this IRL, okay? It's called, and by the way, something very disturbing is happening. Can you see this in the hallway? Do you see the light coming? Can you see the light turning on and off? Look at that.
Yeah. Again, your life is a horror movie that never begins. Your life is a horror movie that the first 3 minutes of a horror film that never, it's literally, you never see any monster, any
well,
death.
And this fucking poltergeist, I think, knows exactly how to trigger me because the light, once it's on like that, you can't turn it off. And it's one of those overhead lights, and you know how sensitive I am to light.
Right.
right.
So it makes, he makes my, or she makes my life a living hell. But the technique is called this. Okay. Gray rocking. Do you know about this? Gray rock.
Gray rocking. Oh, shit. Okay.
Very simple.
Tell me more.
What narcissists love is reactions. Do you realize that, right?
I'm learning.
They're always
this,
trying to get a rise out of you. Either way, they want, that's what they crave. That's their energy. And the best thing you can do is say, whatever, all good. Remain neutral.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Don't give them
the
what
power
they want.
Of neutrality.
Try to rile me up, Nate.
Rile you up.
Try to.
I would if I really tried to. You realize that, right?
Well, give it a shot. See if it works.
Eric, you are such a piece of shit, man. You're such a fucking. I'm trying to avoid any topic that would actually hurt your feelings.
You know I hate being called a piece of shit.
right.
All right, let's move on. But as you saw, the technique is simple. Give them nothing. Give them nothing, and don't be. You don't have to confront them either. Sometimes just give them nothing.
You notice that's what Nate did. He gave you nothing.
Right.
Right.
Well, doesn't matter for me because
he was asking for something.
How many products have you used during this? I've seen
rose water spray.
He used breath spray a minute ago. Rose water spray.
And I have a new flavor.
That doesn't do anything, dude. That shit does not do
anything. It smells good and it gets all up in my pores and cleans them. Cosmopolitan Spindrift.
Spindrift?
Whoa. You see that, right? Delicious.
Eric's up in the salon right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What else?
And the lip balm as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Treat yourself. Products, man.
A lot of men are afraid to behave this way.
Can I talk about my Dave & Buster's experience that I went to?
Please, Dave & Buster's.
So I don't know if I did Dave & Buster's right, Jack, but one, Dave & Buster's is fucking huge. Like I went in there and I hadn't been there in probably, I don't even know, a decade probably. And I didn't realize how large it is. It is a fucking, it's gigantic. There's so many games and there's too much space to eat. I would say like they have a really large dining area. And when I was there, there was literally no one eating and everybody was just playing games. Do you eat? This is my question, Jack. Are you sitting down and having a meal at Dave & Buster's? And then you're going to the games? Or are you just going straight to the games?
I would like for somebody one day to ask me to eat food with them at Dave & Buster's. The problem is, if you're at a Dave & Buster's, odds are you are within very close proximity to some of the largest, most successful national chains in America.
That's so true. That's what we did. We were right next to a Red Robin. And we were like, let's not, we're not going to eat at fucking Dave & Buster's and we can go to fucking Red Robin, you know, not that Red Robin's that great, but it's better than Dave and Buster's.
Yep.
I love, but as a kid, I loved Red Robin.
I'll tell you what, the quality, how do you remember the fries at Dave and Buster's? Because I feel like I've stumbled upon a Mandela effect here.
At Red Robin's, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. How do you remember the fries? What are the specific cut?
I remember
them
being fat, thick slices. Huge fat finger style slices.
Steak fries.
I'm living in a Mandela effect of the sound off in the comments because I might be going fucking crazy. But what I remember is that the Red Robin fries came in a basket and they came like chips and salsa at a Mexican restaurant. You'd get them before the meal and they would have the seasoning all over them. You know that Red Robin Lari's ripoff seasoning? And were stringy and like McDonald's fries. Now, when I go there, I'm like, what the fuck are these steak cut fucking fries, man? This is not the Red Robin that I remember. So right. I don't know if I'm going insane or if I'm misremembering, but those are not the fries that I remember from Red Robin.
No, I remember
so
even as a kid being comments, like, these are too fat. These fries are too fucking fat for me. Thick and juicy. I like them crispy.
Jack, have you been to a Red Robin in like 10 years ago? Can you weigh in on this at all?
I'm so sorry, but I don't think I've ever been to a Red Robin.
Wow.
This was, I remember the first time they have like a Hawaii, at least in the Northwest, they had like a Hawaiian teriyaki burger. You ever had this? Teriyaki sauce all up on the fucking patty and a thick slice of pineapple up on there as well.
Get in my car.
Julio can't believe that. He turned his head right when I said, put a slice of pineapple up on the burger.
He's shocked. Yeah, that's possible, man. That's possible, Julio. That's like a very common thing.
That's the beauty of the United States, man. We have that kind of creativity over here.
And if you think that we have a producer now whose name is Julio, who's on the Zoom, that's not the case. There's a guy in Eric's house named Julio.
Yeah.
Just likes to sit and face
that's
Eric.
That's my new workout buddy.
Sitting on Eric's. Usually, yeah, giving him a foot massage.
Mm-hmm. Who are some famous narcissists that could be taken down a peg? I'll tell you guys like that. Who?
Nero, the fifth Roman emperor, fit from 54 BCE to 80 or to 68.
Are you telling me he was a narcissist, dude?
Yeah, he exhibited classic narcissist traits via his extravagant self-indulgence.
Oh, shit.
Theatrical performances where he demanded adulations and his violent elimination of perceived rivals, including his own mother and wife. Nero had a terrible disregard for Rome's suffering during the Great Fire, which he allegedly used as an opportunity to build his magnificent Domus Aurea Palace.
Wow.
And that's just off the dome. Yeah. That's just
that's disappointing. I'll put it that way. That's fucking memory. Disappointing.
Dude, what did you just say, Nate?
Do you want me to say it all again?
No. I have to assume you just referenced an old person who built a house that he shouldn't have built. It was too much.
What's called oversimplification. But yes, I guess you could.
I'm the oversimplifier.
Simplify that into.
What's in that can you were drinking?
Who, me?
Yeah, what's in the can? What can is that?
Oh, nothing. No, this is Poppy. You ever had this? Prebiotic soda. And I have to say, this is 100% just I feel like I'm drinking marketing liquid. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing good in this. Can't be. I refuse to believe it.
Can I say I'm fine with this Spindrift can design? Okay. It gives me a little bit 2000s. Oh, I just got water on the keyboard. But that Poppy design has to fucking go. It makes me sick. The millennial style design of products needs to end now.
It's untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust it.
It just looks too like Target. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Target, like everything's good. We're all happy.
Meanwhile, fucking Trump is president. That's what I want to tell these fucking people, man. It makes me sick to my stomach, my parents' stomachs.
Graphic design needs to reflect the times that we live in. Because what are they trying to convey is an emotion. Okay. And products. Yeah, I'm done with that thoughts, but yeah.
Well, we got
you
it.
See what I'm saying?
Done with that thought.
Yeah. I'm products, bailing, you can't fully products are usually thought.
Well, those are the things that are being reflected back, is what is being pushed upon us. So it's hard speaking of reflections for damn. So hold on a second. Can you guys help me here? What is it? Oh, like I can't.
Yeah, damn, we had two bailouts in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, never mind. Can't
two mid thought
bailouts. Okay, let me try again. Let me try again.
Please, can we have a one fucking finished thought on this?
I'm so sorry. I know that I shouldn't be podcasting. I fucking know it.
Two eject button.
Let me try again. A reflection can be such a good thing to have a mirror held up to you.
Right.
That's what maybe is. I wanted to.
Sometimes that's good. Well, here, I'll try and go off of that. We're going back to the pond, right? Where we started this whole conversation and this dialogue that we've created, not just with between us, but with between the audience as well. Because that's how I like to view this podcast. Don't please. I'm getting onto something right now.
Sorry.
So what I think that the pond, the reflection, why is that a bad thing? Shouldn't a narcissist see themselves?
And
shouldn't they see a reflect? Isn't seeing their reflection going to, shouldn't that make them question their own behavior?
Well, I have the answer, right? As someone who's dealt with a level of face and body dysmorphia that is off, literally off the charts at the doctor's office, that I've never seen a level of dysmorphia like mine. When you look in your own mirror and you look in your own pond and you're holding it up for yourself, what you're seeing is a distorted image that is shaped by your inner monologue and inner thoughts and relationship to yourself. Could make it better, could make it worse. What you need is someone else to hold that mirror up to you that you love and trust. Let me hold the mirror up to you, Nate. You've been batting it away every time I try to do it to you. Let me hold
it's
it up
too close to
you,
my
man,
face. I
let
can't
me
even
show
see
you. You need to let a loved one show you who you really are. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference.
Right.
Saying that in the presidential debate. Yo, Cap. But what's the level of this? It's not the reflection that's bad. It's the curse that made Narcissus, or whoever was at the pond.
Narcissus.
Right.
That was him? Okay.
Yeah.
It's the curse that made him love the reflection. The reflection itself was is not bad, but the reflection, this is the Jungian shadow, which we're all studying.
Oh, this trust me, I do shadow work.
Oh, I know you do hello shadow work and shadow puppet work, which is beautiful as well. Central Park. Thank you. Yeah, of course.
At our sleepovers.
I love that. I'm hungry. What else?
Should we have a shadow work raffle and somebody can win a contest and we can all
where
and
we
all
do shadow work
we'll
for
do crazy ass fuck shadow work. Mm-hmm.
What is shadow work?
Shadow work is working with your shadow self to figure out what is ailing you mentally.
And my shadow self is, I know that.
Now what we need to do is a Powerball style lottery system where it has to be a patron, by the way. You have to be a patron to get in this lottery. If you win, we will have you fly yourself out and put yourself up in Los Angeles or New York, and
first
you
class,
will pay
by the way,
us
because we want you to treat yourself.
Treat yourself. We will be doing a 9-hour Reiki session. All three of us doing Reiki up on the patron.
Loud.
Do you guys know about Reiki?
Of course.
Energetic healing.
Of course.
Why don't we do a little Reiki right now? Julio, you can be
Reiki.
We'll pretend on you.
Put your phone down, lay down on the ground right now, and I want you to, I don't care where you're at. If you're at fucking work right now.
Julio's on the ground. All right, so let's do it.
Just, and you're going to feel this, by the way. You're going to feel this. Now just Just trust us. You're on the ground. You're laying down in the middle of the office in your open concept fucking office right now. Everyone's like, what are you doing? Ignore them. Ignore them. Keep the headphones on.
Damn, Julio has a nice TV. We are going to
fucking load your ass up with energy right now. That you can you feel it? We're going. By the way, I'm specifically.
Oh, it's about to get dark. It's about to turn into a dark Reiki session.
That's good.
Luigi Mangione. I summon Luigi Mangione.
But imagine that for 9+ hours, and that's just right,
everybody
one.
Back up. Everybody wake up. Yeah. And now we are.
Now bus. We're back.
Now.
Yeah, the hands-free bust, the non-sexual
hands-free bust. Just bust, like it's in a dream, like it's a wet dream. Just do it, bust.
Julio, thanks, Julio, for being here.
You felt, okay. You felt that, right?
I know you felt good.
Yeah, I felt great.
Julio is the Wilson of the podcast now. Remember that TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Quarters. Full time.
Mr. Tim Allen.
Of course I do.
So to conclude
this is just so off topic, but do you think I should buy Rust, the game Rust? Have you ever played that?
To play on the Steam Deck?
Wait, this is one of those games I can't fucking play.
You can't play, it's not powerful.
The limitations of the fucking Steam Deck.
Yeah. Sorry, Nate.
Great. Awesome. And it's on fucking sale right now, too.
Do you know what I just downloaded?
What?
It's called Expedition 33. You laugh, man, but it's a serious game of the year contender already from a fresh studio. First game that they've ever released. And people are going crazy for it.
Okay. What kind of game is it? What
RPG. Turn-based. Amazing story. Andy Serkis, who played... You know who he played.
Of course, Gollum.
Do the Gollum.
Among other.
Nate, hit that Gollum for us real quick.
My precious.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That's who he's most famous for. Yeah.
By the way, Eric calls me in the middle of the night and just like asks me to do
hit
that.
The Gollum, man.
Nate, I can't sleep. Will you please?
Will you please do Smeagol before he turned into Gollum and he was still a fucking... not a little person, but because he wasn't a hobbit, was he? Was Smeagol a hobbit?
I think he was. I think he was like a hobbit adjacent at one point.
Yeah, and definitely the hobbit adjacent.
Power corrupted him. I think the ring could be a metaphor for narcissism in a way.
I think you're definitely right about that. Oh, bro, he's a hobbit. Essentially,
he's a hobbit.
He's essentially,
wow.
Yeah, he's essentially
an outcasted fucking.
Oh, dump his ass. He's a hobbit. Dump his ass.
What do you guys want to do Thursday's episode on hobbits? Yeah. We lock in now.
Oh,
can I get you guys to lock in now?
Please, sure. Please.
To hobbit tree.
Habitual behaviors.
Respectful, of course. respectful discussion of hobbits.
But if anyone's listening and has played Expedition 33, sound off. Let's get a thread going. We can give each other tips and support and talk about whatever.
Support group.
Mm-hmm.
Gaming support
Deck,
group.
Are you gaming lately or have you given up on that?
I don't game. I've never, you know me. I'm not like a gamer. I just latch on as I always have. So I'm hitting, it's either Halo, Skate, or Fortnite. Those are the only games I play.
Or Elden Ring.
You guys hooked me on Elden Ring. I don't know how you did that to me.
Oh, by the way, are we gonna get? I looked up that game is not cross platform.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So if we're three gonna play it, something's gotta change.
You guys need PS5s.
You can do PS4 with PS5, so I could get on that.
Is your PS4 still firing? Does it not cough and spurt out blood and electricity sparks when you turn it on?
I hate doing that.
Damn.
I had 3 PS4s at one point, and I can't tell. And I'm like struggling to. I know you gave me one, Eric, and I don't know how I got the other two, but and I don't know where they're at. I think
there's something so sad about the most recent. The previous console, owning the previous console is like one of the saddest things I can think
that's
about.
That's my life, man.
To happen
that's...
to a guy.
Hey, man. There's nothing sad about that... enjoying an amazing product until its last legs and until the servers shut down.
Right, right.
Trying to watch the studio on your PS3, but you can't get Apple TV. It doesn't support Apple TV. Fuck. You want to see it so bad.
They're coming out with a new Nintendo DS, right?
New Switch. Oh, new DS?
Or not, sorry. Why did I say DS?
Switch 2.
Nintendo Switch 2, yeah.
Oh, really?
Nate.
Yeah.
Fucking bought a Switch.
On the topic of all this stuff, I want to thank you personally, man, because Nate brought to my attention while we were in the hot tub, he brought it up very gently after he watched Bubbles and Muffy for us. He said he was using our TV. He said, hey, man, I think it's about time you got a Roku because that Samsung TV is busted. Laggy.
Did you do it?
Very hard to use the apps. I just installed it this morning. Roku Ultra. That's their premium product, by the way.
Oh,
and
wow.
This shit is lightning fast. I'm signed into every app. I pay for every single app. And
dude, isn't it like
it's
night
amazing.
And day?
It's amazing, bro. I was in hell trying to click
I
through
know,
different
dude.
Apps.
When I was trying to go through that shit, I was like getting so frustrated because I knew what could be, you know?
I legit thought had this thought though, Nate, where I'm like, it took Nate. I've been frustrated with this shit for 3 years, putting up with it every day, never thought about changing my own circumstances. But the minute we're in a hot tub and you say you should get a Roku, I'm like, he's right. I'll do it right away.
You literally said, I'm getting it. You said immediately, like so quickly, you were like, I'm getting one today.
I guess I'm very open to the power of suggestion, even though I'm not malleable and I'm very, you know, I have my own ways, set my own ways in a good way, but I do need someone to be telling me every day what to do.
Oh, ChatGPT.
I just thought that was something that could really improve your life. Because,
well,
I don't know if all Samsung TVs are like that, but yours was just really, really slow with the remote. To navigate,
Jack, you know what Roku is, right?
Yeah, robotic onboarding
computer unit.
What do you use,
that's
Jack?
Like
are
a
you using Chromecast
or whatever?
What are you using? A Fire Stick?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. We bought a TV and there's shit on it.
So you're using the native TV UI?
It sucks too.
That is probably pretty slow.
The remote doesn't work. It fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm. It's time to get a Roku Ultra.
Also,
and
I need
you to do an unboxing.
I don't really do TV. I don't use that shit.
I realized recently that I had logged into Peacock at a Airbnb like 6 months ago, and I hadn't been on Peacock in forever. And I noticed that there's like all these accounts have been created on it from because it's still logged into that TV on there, and you can see what all the people have watched, you know, on it.
What were they watching?
And I haven't logged out. I haven't like. I'm just like, you know, whatever. I'm giving, dude, in that way. So, yeah, that's just like a personality, a good personality trait of mine.
How do you know you're not a narcissist? You let people use your Peacock account, let it stack up, and let those people enjoy the entertainment of Peacock originals.
If I were a narcissist, like all of my interns are saying, accusing me of, would I be... allowing other people to access my information and my hard-earned
that's the litmus test.
Would I be doing that? Yeah. No.
And you passed.
Let me ask you something like this. Could a narcissist do this?
Right.
Damn.
Nope. Oh, shit. Look at that. Now show the tricep.
Good job, Jack. Breathe, keep breathing on the mic.
Whoa. Oh, you see the definition, right? You see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could a narcissist do that, or would they be too busy sucking their own dang-a-lang from the back?
Wow. Yeah. I guess we'll never know.
Think about that and smoke it.
Well, guys, what brought joy this week? What delivered joy to your lives?
Well, I'll start out, and it's, I kind of already mentioned it, but I went to Dave & Buster's and played the Godzilla VR game, and that was quite joyous for me. And I put it on, and I thought, one, they need to have a, and I don't think of myself as like a germophobic person, but just seeing the goggles in a public environment, it just kind of grosses me out. And I'm like, there should be a some Lysol wipe, or somebody should be, I need to see an attendant buy that thing 24/7, wiping that shit down for the next person that's coming around. And by the way, I know somebody who's gone to a VR place and gotten lice from, by the way. All right.
You should see how the Hasidic people do it in New York. When they go to VR, they wear like a full face condom.
Really?
Yep. They should have those. They should have those. Because that, I just know that there's, I'm getting something from another person that's put that on. And it grossed me out. But immediately I was transported and forgot about all of that as soon as I put on the goggles. And that's the power of technology and gaming. But that game was quite fun. And I was just laughing. Just laughing when I put it on. Because it was just so crazy.
It's amazing.
What gives me joy lately?
Mm-hmm.
This keeps popping up in my pocket. It's popping up. It's jumping all over different pockets. Look at where it is now. It's right here. Look how small, cute, a little tiny.
Is that a tiny Tamagotchi in your pocket?
Or are you just shit?
Or are you just interesting?
Mm-hmm.
There's this little tiny Tamagotchi.
Unopened. Mini Tamagotchi.
About the size of a fingernail or less. And it keeps popping up in my pockets.
Is it electronic?
No. I think it's just a
toy. It just resembles.
If I got you guys the newest top of the line Tamagotchis, would you take care of the creature within the computer, or would you let it die? Because if you would, I'm getting them right now for us. If you won't, it's not happening.
Yeah, save your money. That thing's gonna.
Yeah,
Kate O'Connor has a Tamagotchi that she's been playing with, and it just evolved into a secret pet.
Cool. I should give this to her. Bring it to LA.
I think honestly, you should.
All right, I'll do that.
And she doesn't listen to this, so it'll be a surprise.
Amazing.
Nobody tell her. My joy is quite simple. A music video that I was in came out this week, and I really loved making it, and it was so fun to watch. I love the final product. It's for a band called Clap Your Hands Say Yeah. The song is called "By the Skin of My Yellow Country Teeth."
That's like their big hit song.
That's their classic.
I have a question, scenes question.
Yes.
Did they have a music video for that already?
No, they didn't.
they never had a music video for that song.
No, I think the band was like against me. I don't know. They didn't have music videos. This is the 20th anniversary. They're re-releasing the album and they're going on tour. So this is kind of the music video to promote it. But
no, I remember you were telling me you're in a music video for them. And I thought, I was like surprised that in a good way, I was like, oh, this is the... Because I was trying to think of like the song that I used to listen from them, and it was that song. And I was like, "There's no way they like made the you're in this video," but it was really good.
Dan and David directed it. They bodied it. We got to go to this computer store for a couple days. So shout out to the whole team and check it out. Okay, guys. Well, I think that took it out of us this podcast, but we tackled the concept of narcissism. We can finally put it to rest.
We can finally be diagnosed with a narcissism.
Anti-narcissism.
Yeah, a narcissistic, non-narcissistic.
Finally.
So get out there, fall in love,
and enjoy the ride.
World.
Joy to the world.
You still can. AGI is coming very soon.
Fuck Trump.
All right. Peace out.
Peace.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.